this morning to the hearts and lives of each one of the people here this morning, that it becomes alive, that it manifests in their heart, Father, that they won't be the same, not because I preached it, but because it's your word, Father. And I pray right now that you will supernaturally move in this body, even while I'm speaking today, that you will bring conviction, and you will bring expectation, and you will bring joy, and you will bring knowledge, and you will allow your presence to manifest in people's hearts and lives, even while they're sitting here this morning. Because Crossfire Assembly wants you, Lord, to be the head, the leader, the director, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of everything we say and do in this place. And we commit it to you this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I am really glad you got to see me this morning. My message this morning is, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. People going through times of difficulty or uncertainty face a common danger. And I've seen it happen many times over too in life, still do, that when we forget to remember the goodness of God, we forget God. And there's a lot of people that are walking through situations and circumstances of life today, and they're crying out, and they're crying out to the wrong thing in the wrong places, and they're not crying out to God, and we can't forget Him. We got to remember the Lord even in the midst of our trials, don't we? You know, because I'm amazed how many times that I hear people that are going through trials and situations that they continually talk about their problems and the difficulties in their life, but they never ever talk about the answer. It's like we forget God, and we have to remember Him, because He's the only one that can resolve the problem and the difficulties of life, and He's the only one that said He'll be with us from now until the end of time. And we got to quit forgetting Him in the middle of the trials. We run to and fro from church to church many times, and we're not satisfied with what this says. We can't forget God. We got to remember, don't we? We got to remember. So today's message is intended to stir our memories. We all participate in events designed to ensure that we don't forget certain things, and they're called holidays. How about Christmas? When you hear Christmas, what do you remember? You know, when I think of Christmas, it makes me remember that the Lord sent His only Son to this world because He loves His creation so much. See, the Lord put that in here. John 3:16. 4th of July commemorates the freedom we all enjoy. Thanksgiving reminds us to be thankful for what we have, which we just came past that day. Mother's Day and Father's Day honor our parents. Memorial Day ensures we don't forget those who sacrificed their lives for our country. Those are all holidays, aren't they, that when we hear them, we think certain things, don't we? We remember things when we hear the name of that holiday. All of these holidays are designed to make us stop and remember important people and events and blessings and situations in our life. It's important to God that His people remember certain things too. That's why we have this. If you'll take the time to look, you'll really discover that the Bible is full of exhortations to remember specific things. That's why we read the Word. Amen? Amen. Boy, it gets quiet in here. But you want to know something? That's why we need to read the Word, so that it gets into our hearts and our spirits and we don't forget. That's why God, in His love and kindness, anointed men of God to write this down for us. Every word proceeds from the mouth of God, and He put it here so that we have something to follow And that's why we have it. Praise the Lord. All through the Old and the New Testament, certain things were done and certain things were taken to ensure that God's people would remember God's promises, God's miracles, or certain events from their past. And just like we prayed this morning for the needs that you have, and especially I want to speak about the healing part, is because you know something, sometimes you think God doesn't heal everybody. I hear that preaching. I believe Jesus heals everybody that comes to Him in faith. I believe there's things in your and my life that stops healing, but I believe Jesus heals everybody. Because if He doesn't, He's a respecter of persons, and He's not. And He says it's a sin if we are, and I don't believe Jesus is. I believe Jesus heals. We have to remember that. God knew that by remembering their past, they would be better equipped for their future. That's why we have the Word. That's, you know, a lot of people say, well, the Old Testament's irrelevant today, doesn't it? We don't need that. Yeah, we do. There's power in the Old Testament. The Old Testament hasn't passed away. It's still here. Because it's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. And I tell you what, you can if you're going through something in your life, you can be in the Old Testament and God, the Holy Ghost, can bring it out to you right there at that time and bring ministry into your heart and life and many times bring deliverance. Don't throw the Old Testament away. It's being taught that. It isn't even being used in a lot of churches today. But the Old Testament is there for a purpose and a reason. It's God's holy word, and it's got a purpose and a place. God didn't say when Jesus comes, take it out, throw it away, don't even put it in the Bible. It's here for a reason, for us not to forget to remember what God did. Amen?
Amen.
So we find feast and celebrations inserted into the Jewish calendar. We find monuments and memorials being built in both the Old and the New Testament, all designed by God to ensure we remember certain things. And this book helps us remember. It helps us. If you forget, if you say, well, I didn't know that is in the Word, then you need to pick up the Word and you need to read it. Such as God's deliverance. And you know, when I say that, such as God's deliverance, you think about this. Our Father in heaven is a deliverer. Did you hear that? Don't ever forget that. Our Father is a deliverer. He delivers us from our sicknesses and our diseases and our financial and our agony and our loneliness and whatever's going on in our life. Our Father is a deliverer. Do you remember the Passover? You see what I'm saying? Do you remember the Passover? What the Lord did in the people's lives? See, the Passover and certain other memorials are eternal and will be observed eternally in the eternal reign of Christ forever. Listen to what it says in Exodus 12:14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. How long?
Forever.
The Lord doesn't want us to forget, does He? It's right here. I read it to you. It's God's Word. And then our Father, His provisions. Many times we get scared and think, God is not going to provide for me. But you know something? I'm going to say it again. God is not a respecter of persons. Don't look at somebody else and say, well, God took care of them, but He didn't take care of me. Don't do that. It's a lie out of the pits of hell. Our Father God provides. He provides. Many times we miss His provision because of us, not because of Him. Because we put our trust in something else. And Jesus told us to put our trust in Him, to look unto Him. It says in Exodus 16:32, so manna was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus 16:32, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. See? The Father, the provider, didn't want the people to forget who was the provider. He told them to do this in order for them not to forget to remember. Our Father loves us. He loves us so much, He doesn't want us to forget anything. And He did these things for the people so they would not forget to remember His provision in the wilderness. That's our Heavenly Father watching over us this morning. Everybody in here right now, that's our provider, our Heavenly Father. He's here. And what He did here with this manna is a memorial for all generations. As far as we know, we very well know this manna may be in a cave somewhere. It may be in a cave in the ark. The Ark of the Covenant, I should say. It could be. We don't know. How many know God's able to keep the manna? Even though we know it rotted pretty quick if they didn't get it off the ground. But I tell you what, it didn't rot there because the Lord told them to put it in the ark. And it could very well be there to let us know, even in the future generations, that, hey, there's our provider. When we get to look in His face, we're going to see a provider. We're going to see a provider. Isn't that incredible? You know something? We're not arrogant when we say we don't need the government and we don't need this and we don't need that. I don't need man to take care of my life. I need God. Because man will fail us at some point, some way along the line. Man is going to drop the ball. But Father, provider, will always be there. Because He promised it. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you, didn't He? And He will take care of us. Father God, His faithfulness. He wants us so much to remember that He is so faithful. And we forget that He's faithful. We run in fear because we lose the knowledge. We forget to remember that God is faithful. Don't we? We do many times. I hear it. I'm amazed how many times I hear in Christians' lives how we forget to call upon the faithfulness of God. And the Lord doesn't mind it when we call up on Him and say, Lord, I need Your faithfulness in my life right now. Monuments or rocks as the people cross the Jordan River, it says in Joshua 4, verses 5 and 7, it says, and Joshua said unto them, you know something, when I read these two, just don't let me read it and say, well, that was really interesting. No, that's the Word of God. Father God put this in here, anointed men of God to write it down. It's His words. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. How long?
Forever.
What's forever mean? It means forever. His faithfulness. Did you hear that? Tell it to your children. Let your children see what I've done and hear what I've said. How many times do we show our children the faithfulness of God and how we live our life and how we act in our homes, in the privacy, or wherever we are? How many times do we encourage our children to know that this God is a faithful God and He'll never fail you? Amen? But many times we talk of fear, we talk of rejection, we talk of loneliness, we talk of heartache and the things that come against us, but we never bring up the faithfulness of our Father. Our children need to look at Him and say, God is faithful. I don't know how this is going to work out in our family, Johnny, Susie, but I'll tell you what, God is faithful and I'm going to stand on His word because He said what He said and I believe it. That's how you pass the faith on to your children. They say that a lot of teenagers leaving churches today, once they get into college, they walk away from the faith. I wonder many times, can we look back in our homes and say, I should have stood on the Word of God more? It's not God's fault. It's us. We're leaky vessels. It's God's faithfulness. See, the 12 stones were to represent the fact that the whole 12 tribes crossed the Jordan on dry ground in the day of the notable miracle. The pile of stones was to be a sign and a memorial to all coming generations, even to us. Because don't you get encouraged? When you need to know it, you know, that may, it may not affect you right now, but you start thinking about that, what the Lord did for those people in order for them to get across the Jordan. What an awesome thing that our God did that. He was faithful to those people. We're going to know this through all generations. You can say, well, I'm going to blank that one out because it doesn't really mean anything, but I tell you what, you can't blank it out because it's going to be there forever. Because God put it there for a reason. He wants you and I to see what a faithful God He is. God's love and sacrifice. Our Father's love and His sacrifice. Where do we remember that from? Communion. We have communion. Remember the Lord? Jesus? What were the words He said after the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup? Huh? He said, remember me, didn't He? Remember me. Isn't that something that the Creator of the world wanted to be remembered and told us and asked us to remember? Remember me? Luke 22:19 says, and He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Do in remembrance. Because you know something? Many go to churches today and take communion, and they don't realize what they're doing. They're not remembering everything that Jesus did, that He came to earth and died for our sins. Our filthy sins, Jesus came. He said, remember me. I'm the one who forgave you and washed those sins away. Remember me because I'm the one that's going to hang on that cross, and I'm the one that's going to be ashamed, and I'm the one that's going to be rejected by the whole world. Remember me. That's our love of our Heavenly Father, the sacrifice He did for you and I. And He says, don't forget to remember that. When you're crying out and you say nobody cares, don't slap Him in the face. Don't forget to remember it was God who sacrificed Jesus, His Son, for our sins. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. We need to remember as the body of Christ. Have you ever wondered why it's so important to God that we remember? And it's really for our own good. If we forget the things of the past, the same thing that happened to the Israelites will happen to us. And guess what? It's happening today. It's happening right before our eyes. That's why this church, I said to my wife the other day again, and forgive me if I'm repetitious, but I don't care. But you want to know something? I told her this church will never be a mega church. It never will be. Because the world is in a state of apostasy right now. It doesn't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. But you know something? God wants us to remember what happened to the Israelites when they forgot their God. It says in Nehemiah 9:16-17, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou did among them. Did you hear that? But hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. To return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon. Did you hear this now? Here's our Heavenly Father. Here He is, showing up. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. That's our Father. Don't forget to remember that. Even when you and I end up with stiff-necked, hardened hearts, God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and forsook them not. That's the God we serve. You can never accuse God of abandoning you. Amen? That won't be one of the excuses standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and that won't be one of the excuses at the great white throne judgment that they're pointing fingers at God and saying, "You, God," because His love and His mercy is all throughout this word, and we miss it many times. We forget to remember because we miss it, because we don't read it, and we don't apply it to our life. It's true, isn't it? I'm guilty at times when I should have and I didn't read the word. That's why Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:1, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." I like what Peter's at, to stir up your pure minds with remembrance. Get those minds cooking there. Come on, think about what I'm saying here. That's my goal for today's message. I want to stir up your minds to remind you of things you've already know but sometimes forget. You know, it's so easy to say, "Well, I know that's in the Word. Don't tell me that." You know something? Don't ever say that, because maybe you need to hear that if it's done in the right spirit. Amen? If somebody comes to you and say, "Well, you know, Jesus says in His Word that by His stripes I'm healed." I know that! You know something? If you say it to somebody, they're saying it because they want that faith to get into your heart so that your heart will grab it and manifest, and that healing will manifest within you. If somebody's speaking the word to you in love and kindness, or sometimes even in, you know, to reprimand us for something that we shouldn't be doing, we got to take heart and say, "Lord, that's from you." Amen? I'm not talking about pettiness and criticism and being critical. I'm talking about truth of using God's word properly when it needs to be used. So don't ever think just because you know it, you arrived and you don't ever have to think about it. Don't forget to remember, because there's going to be a point in your life where you may need to remember that scripture. And that's why it's important to read, because the Holy Ghost that lives in our temple is the one that helps us to remember. Amen? And the Holy Ghost isn't allowed to move in many places today. He could if He wanted to, but God says, "You don't want me." Okay. To stimulate us all to wholesome thinking. And I want to challenge you the way Peter challenged his friends in 2 Peter 1:12 and 15. He says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle," meaning he's going to die, "even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." See, I believe Peter probably felt that if they didn't remember, then he failed in what God wanted him to do. But Peter was concerned about the discipleship of the people and the gospel being delivered. Peter wanted to remind them to keep Christ in the cross, in their remembrance. See, we forget this cross. Some people say, "Well, we don't need that kind of stuff in here." Well, probably not, but I tell you, every time I see a cross, what do you remember? Amen? You don't realize it, but we need things. We need the Word of God and the things that the Lord had put in there. And sometimes this type of a symbol here helps me to remind me that Jesus hung on the cross when I'm being rebellious, especially. So today I'm going to remind you of some of the things the Bible says to remember. When you are tempted to look back at the good old days, don't forget to remember. When you feel like Lot's wife and want to look back. You know, the world has a way of getting in us, doesn't it? I don't care how spiritual you and I may think we are, but I tell you what, the world has a way of getting into us, and I can verify that. And again, I'm going to say it because it's the truth, and I'm going to warn people till Jesus comes, is the world has gotten into the church today. When you look at the wide road or the easy way, huh? When things seem difficult and hard, you think, what's the use? What's the first thing that comes in our minds? And you know why it does? The enemy puts it there many times, and we forget to remember what the Word of God says. when you want to throw off the restraints Christianity demands. That's why the church wants easy believism today. Tickling ears sermons. They don't like the demands. I'm not coming to church unless it's this way. Well, churches are filling up in certain areas of the country today, but I tell you what, is it because they don't like the restraints of Christianity? The Lord calls us to be holy, doesn't He? He didn't say, you're Christians, you can do whatever you want. We're to represent Him. And there's certain things we do ourselves to work out our salvation. Not to work to get to heaven, but to work it out. When you want to be and act like everyone else. All these things come against us, don't they? Because even our children, I want to be like the other kids in school. And that's where we have to not forget to remember what the Word of God says, to teach our children, to train them in the things of God. If we don't, we lose them. Deuteronomy says in 32:7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. You know, the biggest disappointment is when a pastor or elders or deacons or leaders in churches are not living up to what the Word of God says. It's disappointing. I'm not picking on saying pointing fingers or anything, but it's disappointing even in a home when a father doesn't hold his bar, when a mother doesn't hold up what her calling is. Remember your former days, but remember them accurately. Those days never satisfied your soul. You can remember before you're saved, you may have had fun sinning, because I did, but I tell you what, it never satisfied my soul, because why do you think when Jesus chose me, I got saved? Because I wasn't satisfied even with all the fun of sinning. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. And we got too many people that are talking more about their iniquity before they got saved than about their salvation when Jesus saved them. And they glorify their past more than they glorify what Jesus did on the cross. And I never do that, because I think it's vitally important that if somebody said, what was your past? I said, I was a dirty old sinner and God saved me. Because if I start pinpointing my past out so detailed and everything, there may be somebody in that congregation that may be dealing with the very thing that I'm delivered from. And I may entice them to want to stay in it. Because it's the way they say it. I watch them on television. How they say, shut up 12 times a day. Well, what did Jesus do for you? Amen. Jesus delivered me. He delivered me from sin. He delivered me from booze. He delivered me from drugs. He delivered me from sexual perversion. He delivered me from myself. That's what Jesus did. See, when you lift Jesus up, we can't forget to remember that it's Jesus. When we lift Him up, He is the one that draws all men nigh. If I come, when I was in working with Teen Challenge, I didn't go to the guys and tell them what I did in my sins. I went to them and told them that I was a sinner and the Lord did this for me. And that's what you do. It's Jesus. Don't forget to remember Jesus. And we do many times. Did you know that? The answer. Don't live in the rearview mirror. When you think that you can play with temptations, don't forget to remember temptations that promise so much and deliver so little. Temptations that look so appealing to us. Temptations that seem so harmless. And there's many of those. But you know something? There's something in the Word of God that He says, don't forget to remember what I said. Instead, we forget and we try to justify those temptations, and what do? If we fall into temptation and sin, if we actually do the acts, whatever the temptation is, it becomes sin. That's where Satan wants us. What does God say He'll do when we have temptations? It's in His Word, isn't it? It's in here. We're not to forget that. He's the one we call upon when we have temptations. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Everybody in here this morning that's born again, God chose you and brought you out himself with a mighty hand out of your bondage of sin. Because whether you think you were or not, whether how great or how little, you and I were in the bondage of sin, destined for a hell for all eternity. And Jesus, with a mighty hand, says, I choose you. Amen. Remember your past bondage to sin. See, sin is bondage, and we need the anointing to break the yoke. Don't we? We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost to break the yoke of bondage of sin in our life. When you start to question God's love for you, don't forget to remember. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13 says that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Don't forget to remember that we are overcomers by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. They don't want to talk about the blood today. As I said one time before, one preacher says, we don't want that bloody message in the church anymore. I tell you what, dangerous things to do, because God says, don't forget to remember. It was the blood that was shed down Calvary's cross that made it possible for me to go to heaven for all eternity. One drop of blood could have cleansed everybody. And I tell you what, that blood was shed for you and for me. Devil doesn't like to hear it, but I tell you, it's the only power in the universe that can cleanse us from our filthy sin. The blood of Jesus, and it says it right here. Remember, you were once separated from God, and remember the price that God paid for you and me. When you find yourself enjoying life's blessings, don't forget to remember. Deuteronomy 6, 10 and 12 says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We even as Christians do that many times. We forget to remember that it's God that brought us out of the bondage of sin, and the blessings that we have in our lives right now is because God put them there. And we may sit there and think how wonderful and how great I am, or how talented, how smart, intelligent I am, that it was me that got all my beautiful things in these blessings. No, it was God. Don't forget it was God who got them for you. Amen. Who gave you your ability? Who gave you your intellect? Don't forget to remember it's God. Amen? Amen. We got to remember these things, brothers and sisters. Difficulties often drive us to God. Prosperity often drives us away from God. Isn't that the truth? There's many today that have left their faith because all of a sudden they had all kinds of wealth. How many heard about the lottery thing, what the two people won? They're supposed to get, like, after everything, $192 million piece. I don't know these people, but I'm wondering where will they go in life now that they become multimillionaires within a moment's time with that money. I wonder how many of us in here would still come to the Crossfire Assembly if all of a sudden you had $192 million put in your bank account. You know why I would come? Not just because I'm pastoring this church. I'd come here because the word of God's going to be heard in this church. That's why I'd be here. Because I tell you what, when life ends, that $192 million ends at the same time. Then what you got? You're back to zero. Naked. Before God. Which way do you go? Heaven or a hell? That's why you never base your life on the blessings either. For every 100 people can handle adversity, only one can handle prosperity. Remember God when you're enjoying life's blessings, amen? If you're living with some great blessings in your life, remember God. Thank him every day. When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I thank you for that nice car that you've given me. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the nice home. I thank you for the clothes. I thank you for the food that I have in the refrigerator. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my loved ones. I thank you for my job. Lord, I want to thank you. See, remember, don't forget to remember it's God who gives us everything, everything. Amen. When you start worrying about the future, don't forget to remember. It says in Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 6, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Do you know something? I'm going to intercept real quick. Many things is happening in your and my life along life's way right now. God is finding out what truly is in our heart. He knows our hearts, but I think he wants us to understand where we are too. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by only certain words from the word of God. Somebody read the Bible. Thank you. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Every word. We don't delete them out of the Bible. We don't skip over them when we read them. Every word God intended to have in the Word should be left alone, because he told us not to touch it. Because he said we live by it. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee. Did you hear that? Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Don't forget to remember God for your future. Did you see how the Lord took care of these people through those 40 years in the wilderness? When the future causes fear or worry or doubt, remember God's faithfulness to provide for you in the past. Everybody that's in here this morning, you may say, well, I'm struggling real hard right now, but I'll tell you what, the fact that you're here tells me that God has taken care of your past pretty good. He's taken care of mine. I'm here. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I don't look to the government. I don't look to another man. I look to Jesus when I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't understand how I'm going to make it the next day or the next month, but Lord, I'm going to trust you because your word, I don't forget to remember that what the people in the wilderness happened to them. 40 years, they cried out, they were fearful, didn't know what was going to happen, but here the Lord pours manna upon them, make sure their shoes don't even wear out, their clothing doesn't even wear out. What a God we serve. I mean, I don't know how bad the world's going to get before Jesus comes, but if I have to wear this suit every Sunday, the Lord's going to keep it in good condition. Amen? It's a nice color, isn't it? Matches my complexion. When circumstances start to look impossible and you become desperate, don't forget to remember. 1 Chronicles 16, 11-12 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. We're to seek him. No matter how desperate we get, we don't forget to remember what God has done throughout all history, right up to where we're at. Remember everything he's done and hold him to it. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. And we can do that. Remember God's miracles in the past, whether it's a relationship to be restored, passions to be renewed, problems to be solved, needs to be met. God is able. God is able. When you're worried about your future, remember God's faithfulness in your past. When you thought you weren't going to make it, and here you are today. Remember the times when you said, Lord, I thought all hope was gone, but you're here today. Amen. Isn't that exciting to serve a God like this? See, I want to keep preaching the word of God, because I want to keep encouraging you, because I believe God is going to manifest in our lives. I believe that. I don't want to play church. Do you? I don't want to forget to remember how I played church. That gets us nowhere. That only makes us feel so good. That's all it does. But you want to know, if I got to come to church and be convicted because of the Word of God, then I want to be convicted. I want to be like Jesus. When you're worried about your future, remember God's faithfulness in your past. Don't allow faith to be overshadowed by desperation. God can be trusted. It's better to cry out and say, Lord, I see no way, no hope, no how that this thing is going to work out in my life. I just don't see it ever happening. I'm doomed. But Lord, I'm still going to trust you. It pleases his heart. He says, faith pleases me. When we do that to our Father, you can climb up in your Father's lap and look in his eyes and say, Lord, I trust you. If you have ever had a child and they climb up, and I still got a child here, my daughter, but when she was little, she climbed up on my lap and she believed I could do anything. She would laugh because she thought I was so big and strong. When the big old dog would jump on me, or Irish Setter, she'd laugh because the big old dog couldn't get at her because big tough daddy had her up here. Did you know something? You have a heavenly Father that has a greater love than an earthly father that says, I see your hurt, son, daughter. Look into my eyes. Trust me. What looks hopeless to you is nothing, because I can do it. Are you still with me? When serving Jesus starts to become routine or boring or burdensome. And there's a lot of that today. Why do you think that apostasy is in the church today? People got bored with Jesus. They got bored, they got burdensome with having the restrictions and the Christian thing because they didn't like the conviction, they didn't like to whatever. And if you're in that part, don't forget to remember Hebrews 10, 32 and 37. But call to remembrance the former days. This again is the proof of his faithfulness and his love. In which after ye were illuminating, meaning enlightenment through the gospel, brings to the believers, ye endured a great flight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock or ridiculed, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have a heaven better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. We hear it a lot. I say it here that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. This is not the kingdom of God upon this earth. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. 2,000 years ago, Jesus promised his coming for the church. Look how much closer we are today. Whew. And we're watching the events happening around the world right now as God is rearranging the nations of the world and doing exactly the apostasy and all the deception and all the things, the one world government and the one world religion is all coming together before our eyes, or we're watching it. And Jesus says, when you see those things begin to happen, I'm excited. I'm keeping myself calm. Jesus is coming. He's coming sooner than later. I believe that, because there is a time when God is going to say, it's done. Go, son, get the church. And I'm one of those pre-trib guys, and that's okay with me. Remember the three R's. Remember, repent, return. Remember, repent, return. He's not saying to feel the same feelings. We don't live our life with our feelings. We do it by faith. When you're hurt or offended by someone else, don't forget to remember Matthew 6:14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen? And you think about that. You and I always try to justify, well, we don't want to forgive somebody because they've hurt us so deeply. But God expects us to. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when he said, when you come and ask the Father forgiveness, he's just and faithful to forgive. And he forgave us of all of our sins when we come to him with repentance in our hearts and saying, Father, forgive me. He says, I forgive you for everything. A murderer can come before God and say, Father, forgive me for murdering. And God says, I forgive you when it's done with a repentant heart. We have no excuse when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ to say, I can't forgive that person. The Lord says, yeah, you can. Because when we deserved hell, God forgave us. No matter how bad the insult, the hurt was given to us, we have to forgive. And if the only reason you want to do it to obey God. It doesn't have to be a feeling. It's a faith thing. Most of us, what we're told to remember is in the presence. But there are a few things we need to remember for the future. Things that should affect what we do from here in and out. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Amen? Amen. You know, when we pay tithes at Crossfire Assembly, I hope when you come here and realize it, when we come together here, everything isn't free. I'm finding that out more and more since we got this building. There's nothing free here. We got to pay for the lights. We got to pay for the heat. We got to pay for everything. And you know something? When I come and I pay my tithes to church, I don't do it for man. I do it for the Lord. It's his money. And I tell you, it's a law of reciprocity that God has set in place that when you give, we receive. And if you have the will to give a lot, God has blessed you with a lot, then you need to do that if you want big blessings. You don't give to get blessings, but I tell you, they just automatically come because God said it. But I tell you what, if you give a little and you're stingy, that's how you're going to live your whole Christian life too. And you know, sometimes when you find out when you're in a strait, when you're in a fix, when things are up, when you're up against the wall and there's no money coming in and there's nothing and you have a dime in your pocket, give it to God. Don't keep it. Give it to the Lord. He knows how to make that 10 cents into $10,000. But if you got $10,000 and you give God a dime, you better hope you don't lose the $10,000. Because you know something? God's word's his word. If you sow sparingly, if you just give a little bit just because, well, you know something, how you grow in faith is to do more. Whether it's in your finances, your time, your prayer, your love, and your service, all of it together, you give more to grow your faith and trust in a heavenly Father. Instead of thinking always to keep, give, and God will give unto you. That's his promise. I didn't say that. He did. And if he said it, I believe it. And I know he's true because I'm going to say I'm here today because God's word is faithful and true. Do I have financial struggles throughout life? You bet we do sometimes. But you know something? If we put our trust in the Lord, those are the times when we grow in our faith toward God and to show his mighty hand at work in our life. And it's no fun. How many like to go through financial problems? I didn't see any hands. I'm glad because mine was just to show. I didn't mean that, but you get the point. If you want to see God move in your life, don't hold back from God. Give God everything you have. Give him it all and watch him. He's the Father. It's his anyway. It's all his. James 5:20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Don't forget to remember that we are to be out sharing the gospel. We put tracks back there for a reason. One track, one soul for all eternity. Somebody's going to get that track and keep it, read it, and apply it to their life. I know that for a fact because I've done it several times and I've talked to a few of the people that I've given tracts to that I forgot about and they come to me and they've given their lives to Jesus. And they're saved. They're born again Christians. Not because of me, but because I put that tract out there. We're to go out and to present the gospel. Don't forget to remember that's our responsibility. That's our commission from the Lord is to go out and to witness. Remember evangelism. Jude 1:17 says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember them. Events that are coming soon should determine how we live. And I just commented on that, what's happening in the world. One last thing. Memorials or monuments in the Old Testament are called pillars. Pillars rise above the horizon. They stand out and are noticed. They display something other than themselves. Jeremiah 1:18 says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defended city, an iron pillar, and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the prince thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people thereof." See, God wants the world to remember him. He has chosen to use us as his pillars, his memorials. When somebody sees you, they should say, "There goes a Christian." Amen? Amen. Not hypocrite. Christian. There goes a Christian. I'm scared of that Christian. They might witness to me. Isn't it fun when people get scared of you because they're afraid you're going to share the gospel? That tells me the Holy Ghost is working on them. So you kind of eyeball them, then you go after them on purpose. I've done that. But it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. You know, in the scripture, the people were afraid of Christians because they moved in great power in the anointing. People were raised from the dead and healed because of the Christians. I believe that's the true church, the true way Christians are to be. People who would remind others of what he is like. People who stand out and are noticed, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify our Lord. So be determined to remember these things. 1 Peter 2:5 was written to encourage anyone who sacrifices for Christ. It says in context, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We're lively stones. We're lively stones, built up a spiritual house. That's why we read the word, we fellowship, we come to church. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. We are the church. All the saints of all the ages, lively stones, one day are going to be built into a heavenly temple where God will be worshipped for eternity. See, that's why I like to see all the different colors and all the different personalities and all the different people that come into the church because, you know, we are all going to live together for all eternity, and every one of us were born the way we were born for a purpose in heaven. And this statement that I made, that when we come before God, he's going to build up a heavenly body in heaven. I don't know how we're all going to come together, but it's going to be awesome. We're going to see each other's how unique each one of us are and why God made us the way he made us. And we'll learn to love and to rejoice with God because he's a miracle-working God and he knows it. Don't let the devil drive you down into the ground with who you are. Say, "Lord, thank you, for I am beautifully and wonderfully made." Everybody in here is in the image of God. Everybody. Everybody. There you will hear no noise of the chisel or the hammer. Isn't that great? That work will have been done somewhere else in a quarry called earth. That's what's been going on. Our life is now being spent in God's quarry, so we will be fit for God's heavenly temple. The hammers and the chisels God used to prepare us are other people. Difficult people. People to serve. People to love. Times of difficulties, disappointments of life, challenges that life throw at us, times to sacrifice, times to serve, times to trust, times to obey. God gave us an eternal record of men and women who served and followed him with their whole hearts. Many sacrificed, all sacrificed. Some died for their faith. God wants us to remember them this morning, the persecuted church, the martyred, in past and even in the world we live today. But more than that, remember, he wants us to be inspired by them. He wants us to honor our spiritual predecessors by following their examples. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in him." I think it's really interesting. When my uncle was laying on his deathbed in Clear Lake, South Dakota, I walked into his room there, and I was visiting with him, and I shared the gospel and prayed the prayer of salvation with him just the week before he died. And one of the statements he said to me, he was 89 years old, and he said to me, he said, "Lynn," he called me Lenny. He said, "I have no pleasure in life." That's what he said. But you know something? I've shared the gospel with him in prior years and everything, and I was thinking about that. You know something? As Christians, we should be grateful for life right to the very end. Know far how long it takes us, know how old we get. But I tell you what, the evil days come the older you get. They come. Things happen. We change. Our bodies change. Circumstances change. And the Lord is saying, remember thou now thy Creator. Remember him now while we're younger and we can hold on to it. When we go into those evil days, we can remember it's God. It's God that's going to take me all the way to the end, no matter what. And no more than remember, trust God to fulfill every promise he ever made. It's difficult times, and sometimes we're feeling like giving up, but I tell you what, don't forget to remember God. But remember what Paul taught us after he spent his life for the cause of Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, 18, and I'm going to close with this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," did you hear that? "But for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's what we're to be looking for. Ask God to show you what you need to remember today. When you face temptations or disappointments this week, when trials or difficulties come, when the uncertainty of the future causes fear or doubt, when blessings come, remember that God is able and God is faithful. And I finish with this last verse, 2 Timothy 1:12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless am I not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day." He's able to keep you. He's able to keep what he promised in his word in your and my life. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And I believe that mighty God is so magnificent that I believe that mighty God is still standing here with you people this morning. I really believe that. I believe that God is in here right now continuing to do the work and the ministry. I believe Jesus is walking through this place right now. He, not only that, he lives within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But our God is here along with many congregations throughout the world today as we worship him, because it's all about him. But see, he's able to do that. Don't ask me how, because I'm not that smart, brother, Pastor Jim. But I tell you what, I know he is, because the word says he is. He can be everywhere at once. And I believe. I didn't forget to remember what I read about that. And he is able to do that. Every head bowed, please, for a moment. I believe the Holy Spirit is always speaking to hearts, especially about salvation, because eternity is forever. Once our hearts stop beating, there's no coming back. Jesus said, "It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment." And I tell you what, I want to give anybody an opportunity who would say to themselves right now, "I don't know if I died right now, if I would go to heaven." If you are one of those people, then I would ask you to just come out from where you're at and come up and stand with me, because I'm already up here. Come up here. Don't let the devil stop you being fearful, saying people are going to point a finger, because I know a lot of the people in here, and all of us come the same way. We all come the same way. And I don't want to miss anybody. Jesus never missed anybody. The only people he missed wouldn't come. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Is there anybody in there would say that I've had a hardness in my heart, and I've rebelled against the word, even though I remember it, I rebel against it, and I don't want it because I want to do what I'm doing. But I need to repent of that before Jesus comes or I die. I want you to come up here too, and we're not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to pray in just a moment's time. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit drew hearts. Drew hearts. Are you up here for salvation? Anything specific?
Okay. Everything. Just everything in general. Okay.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I want anybody else that wants to come up here for prayer also, again, if there's still something you say, I still need prayer, I want you up here. And we'll when I'm done praying, we'll even continue praying for people when people dismiss. So if you want prayer, you come forward. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, I lift up these people, your people, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, there's a warfare going on here, and we speak to that warfare right now in Jesus' name. I speak to the issues in their life right now, Father, that we hold them up as the body of Christ before you right now, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit will bring healing into their hearts, into their home. And Lord, what is confusing in their life right now will no longer be confusing, but Lord, they will stand upon your word and come into agreement, that they walk together in agreement, that the enemy cannot divide them. Because Lord, if one was walking one way and one's walking another way, it's not going to work too well. So Lord, you are a God of unity. And Lord, if there's rebellion in the heart, then it's you, Lord, that will soften the heart of the person or persons that need to surrender and repent. I speak that over them right now. I'm leaving their circumstances in your hands, Lord. You said to cast their care upon you. And Lord, we love them and we desire for them to walk and to get victory in their lives, whatever the situation may be. Lord, we all walk through things, so I thank you for them, Lord, that they come forth and say, we know that it's the Lord who is the one we need to come to. And we surrender our situation into his hands right now in Jesus' name. I speak the blood of Jesus over their life, over their marriage, over their home, over their finances, over their health right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for being with us this day, Father. We lift and we glorify you. We honor you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, I thank you for what you are doing and are going to continue to do in the bodies and the lives of the people that are in this building today, in Jesus' name. That when we come back next week, there will be testimonies. That when we come back next week, there will be people that will glorify your name, Father, for your faithfulness and your goodness. And Lord, there will be people that are coming back that are still in the storm of life, that are coming because they know that they serve a faithful God, and they're not going to forget to remember that this is where they come. They come to fellowship with the body, that we come together in warfare with them until it come to pass. Because Lord, sometimes we do and make decisions and do things in our life that takes you some good, creative, righteous ways to get our lives untangled. But Lord, we come to you. And I speak, Lord, the blood of Jesus over every family that's represented in here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you use each and every person here, that they forget not to remember that this week that they are to share the gospel with a lost soul or another Christian who is struggling. Let us be evangelistic in our way of life, Father, in this church. But let us be people who care, who love, who seek the lost, the dying, the crying, the way Jesus does. Lord, use my brothers and sisters in Christ this week in Jesus' name. And we praise you, we thank you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you.